Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Do you, Chris, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to barrage her with obscure facts concerning comics, movies, TV shows, and toys?
I do.
And Cindy, do you take this man-child to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to humor him by engaging him in his obsessive ramblings, for better or worse, in pre-crisis or in post?
Sure, why not?
Then by the power invested in me by the High Father of the Fourth World, I now pronounce you Supermates. You may podcast with the bride.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Supermates, the Husband and Wife Geekcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Cindy.
And today, in honor of the new upcoming Captain America Civil War film, we're going to talk about Captain America.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So we're going to ride those coattails just like almost every other podcast is probably going to. But I think I kind of came up with a slightly different angle that kind of fits something we cover on our show. I've been thinking about doing a series about toys, more specifically about one particular character across many toy lines.
Mm-hmm. And across the years.
Across the years. So this was a perfect opportunity to start that feature, that recurring feature. So I think we're going to call this Tales from the Toy Chest.
Okay.
So this will be Tales from the Toy Chest, Captain America. We will discuss the history of the character in toys and merchandise, mostly focusing on action figures and the related accessories. While we're not going to cover every single toy ever made, we're going to cover the hot spots, like mm-hmm. the main lines that people remember. And also, we're going to cover things that are in my personal collection, because I don't have a huge Captain America toy collection, but of the Marvel characters, other than maybe Spider-Man, just because there's so much Spider-Man merchandise,
right.
I have more Cap merchandise than any other character, because he's my favorite Marvel character, him and Spider-Man. And they fight back and forth. But everybody loves Spider-Man. Specifically, Captain America is my favorite
right.
Marvel character. So jumping right in, Captain America actually, of course, he debuted in 1941. And this is actually the 75th anniversary of Captain America, as well as the year that his new movie comes out. So we're celebrating that, too. And there was a limited amount of merchandise available in the 40s. Mostly the fabled Captain America Sentinels of Liberty membership kit. So it was the fan club.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, just like Ralphie and Little Orphan Annie and all that stuff. Or the Junior Justice Society of America club or whatever.
Wonder Woman was a stinking secretary. What the hell?
Yes. Yes, Wonder Woman, you're more powerful than any of us, but please be our secretary.
You know, I'm sure Green Lantern had better penmanship.
We had a very better voice because he's, you know, radio announcers.
Mm.
But anyway, Captain America Sentinels of Liberty Club, which, how cool is that of a name of a club? And of course, that's what Cap's name, you know, the Sentinel of Liberty is what things people call him. But they had, you got a membership badge.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's apparently just hard to find. And first it was done in like metal and tin. And then as the war went on, they rationed metals.
Right, right.
And so you got like a sewn patch, like a embroidered patch.
Okay.
So there's different versions of it out there. So, but yeah, so that was pretty much, as far as I know, the big thing of Captain America merchandise in the 40s. Of course, Cap returned from comics limbo in Avengers number 4, March 1964. And he quickly got a solo series in Tales of Suspense. He shared that book with Iron Man, ironically enough, given what the Civil War is all about.
Right.
They used to share a book together. Now they can't even share a movie together without beating the hell out of one another. But it's earned. It's earned. I'm just saying. As opposed to other superhero movies, which we will not get into.
No, we will not, Christopher.
But by the end of the decade, Iron Man got spun off into his own book, and Cap took over the numbering of Tales of Suspense with number 100. He got a second dose of media exposure because he had actually had a 1940 serial that's very out there. Captain America's not even Steve Rogers. He's like a district attorney. There's no Bucky. There's no S.H.I.E.L.D. He's basically got the suit minus the ears, and that's it. That's the only thing that's tying into the comic books.
Weird.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So, he got a much more faithful adaptation in the Marvel Superheroes syndicated cartoon series in 1966 because they actually animated the comic book artwork. And,
right.
And by animated, I mean they cut out the figures and threw them across the screen, basically, and made the lips move, and sometimes an arm would move, but it was Jack Kirby artwork, you know.
Right.
He's the sulky, over-funky, kinda hunky superhero.
Hot to fisted and electrically transistored superhero. And exotically neurotic
and aquatic superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
Superpowered from the forehead to the toes.
Watch them change their very shape before your nose.
See arcane striking superhero change to Viking superhero.
Ah-hum, dingin' real, swingin' shield, flingin' superhero.
They're the latest, they're the greatest, ultimatest superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
But because of that, and because Marvel had just skyrocketed in popularity since they Marvel superheroes began with the Fantastic Four in 1961, there was a ton of merchandise in 1966, also because of the Batmania fad. So Cap was kind of front and center of all the Marvel merchandise, probably because at that point, Spider-Man had not yet become the number one guy.
Right.
He was very popular, but
he wasn't the juggernaut of sales at that point.
Right. It was like, because Fantastic Four was first, and but it was like, it was too early to tell who was the main guy, I guess, in a way. And Cap probably being the name that the people working on the stuff knew and that the parents knew, they merchandised, you know, that Cap was kind of the leader of the pack in a lot of these things.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
And because of that, he was the first Marvel superhero who got an outfit in the Captain Action series from 1966 made by Ideal. Now, in case you didn't know, Ideal's Captain Action is the first superhero action figure. It was designed around the Razor Blade retail model. Captain Action was the Razor. He was a superhero who had kind of a military look to him, almost a naval look, because he had an anchor on his hat. And he was like he had a naval hat with a superhero jumpsuit, a sword, and a laser gun. But you could buy outfits to change him into Marvel and DC superheroes and other characters like Flash Gordon and the Lone Ranger and stuff.
Bold and brave, strong and true, streak of lightning from the blue, Captain Action.
Captain Action, so super powerful you can change him into 9 of the mightiest superheroes of all time. Change Captain Action's uniform and face mask and he's Batman, fighting crime with his batarang. He's the mysterious Phantom. He's the Lone Ranger. He's Flash Gordon and he's Superman flying to the rescue. Get Captain Action complete with uniform, sword, and ray gun. Then get his 9 other great superhero outfits. They each come with action-ready uniform, face mask, and realistic equipment.
Fighting evil, that's creed. Thundery power, lightning speed. Captain Action,
he's ideal.
So Captain America was the first Marvel superhero offering, and they also offered Sergeant Fury. He was the only other Marvel character, probably because, in the first series, probably because the popularity of G.I. Joe. So that made sense. So Cap's outfit was one of the more authentic looking offerings in the line. It provided him with a comic accurate suit, mask, and shield. Okay, the shield may have been a tiny bit small, but he was missing his revved gloves, but that's it. And I actually have one here. I don't have the shield, but I have everything else that's part of the suit. And I think he's actually a pretty good looking figure. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, he's a good Captain Action figure, you know, where he's dressing up as, you know, the different characters and everything. So.
Right. There's things like, you know, his wings on his mask aren't painted. And his eyes are oddly not painted, which is one thing Danny noticed. Why aren't his eyes painted?
Yeah.
Which, you know, you know, paint apps have come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And toys, and we'll get into that later. But I think he's pretty, I think he's one of the better looking outfits in the series. They were known to put an abundance of accessories in with the character, whether they needed them or not. So, you know, really in the comics, Cap just really needs a shield, especially back then.
Right.
But they gave him a weaponized laser gun rifle and an ultrasonic intensifier pistol and gun belt with holster.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ahead of the pack with giving Cap a pistol and a, you know, gun belt. They later released a 10 weapon pack accessory set that came with silver repaints of these weapons. And that's the silver version of the intensifier pistol there. So it was originally white. And okay. Everything was very red, white, and blue.
Gotcha.
All over him. But, yeah. Making this thing even more authentic, the box artwork actually sported Jack Kirby art. So, that was cool. Although his mask wings were yellow on the box, which is kind of strange. Later versions of the outfit came with a Videomatic flasher ring, which when you turned it, it changed from Captain Action to Captain America. And they all came like that.
Right.
Which was cool. And we'll get back into that. That becomes very important in another toy line later. That same kind of technology, and I'm using the air quotes.
Is he on that set of Flickers I got you?
No, that's a set of Batman Flickers.
Okay, sorry.
You got me a set of, Cindy got me several years back, there was a set of Batman Flicker rings that were gumball premiums and gumball machines.
Mm-hmm.
And you got me an uncut sheet of the Flicker, the backs, the inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, you know, Batman, Robin, Joker and stuff. It's really cool.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was the Captain Action or the Bat, you know.
No, it was off the top of my head. Yeah, it's, they're almost exact same size.
Okay.
And I think they were even put in the same kind of rings. And one thing you might have thought about, for some reason, I guess, I don't know how, but some of the Captain Action rings, they ended up putting them in gumball machines later.
Mm-hmm.
And they come on different. They're like the ring that comes with the figures are a different actual ring than the ring that comes in the gumball machine. But, you know, and there's other weird things like Captain Action outfits ended up mixed in with Mego outfits on blow molded dolls later on in the 70s and early 80s. It's really strange how some of this stuff wound up where it wound up. One very curious thing about Captain Action's Captain America outfit is his shield showed up somewhere else. Now, you know where that showed up, don't you?
Super Queens. Wonder Woman carries Captain America's shield.
Right. The ideal, while Captain Action was going on in 1967, they released the Super Queens / Comic Heroines line that was Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Supergirl, and Mira. And Wonder Woman, strangely, comes with Captain America's shield. So they were ahead of the curve with the Gal Gadot
carrying
a shield now. I mean, all the Wonder Woman material that's out from the movie, she's carrying a shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know Wonder Woman's carried a shield before, and that's kind of been a thing, like, really since George Perez. But, I mean, now it's like almost every Wonder Woman comes with a shield.
Right.
So they were way ahead of the curve by, like, 50 years. So it was kind of cool. Spider-Man joined the line of Captain Action in 1967 as they retired Sergeant Fury. In fact, they didn't even release a Flicker ring for poor Nick Fury. He got the
shaft.
Yeah. Yeah. His shaft. Nice. Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Very good. I like that. It took me a couple seconds to get
I was
that.
Waiting. I was like, yeah. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. When did
you get the joke? Well, old Caucasian Nick Fury, especially the World War II one, and Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury, I they're like two different characters in my brain, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why. But I like both. But
it's okay, baby.
It's okay. Many fans, including myself, lament the fact that Ideal didn't release a Bucky costume for Captain Action's sidekick figure, Action Boy, because they released suits for Robin and Aqualad as well as Superboy, even though he's not a sidekick, but. You know, so it would have been nice to have a Bucky, and a lot of people have customized Bucky outfits. So, Ideal wasn't the only company to put out Captain America toys in the 60s, in 1966 in particular. Mark's, who was famous for making hard plastic figures of everything from cowboys to monsters, which I have a few of those. Universal Monsters are awesome. Think large army men. They're about like 4 inches tall. They featured Cap in their Marvel line of figures along with Spidey, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Daredevil, which Daredevil didn't get a lot of merchandise.
No.
Like, ever, until like really the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was cool. And the Captain America figures, the one I have is cast in red plastic, and it's a really nice looking figure. The these figures, like the Universal Monsters, there's a lot of texture and detail to them. It just, they're molded in one color, but it's, for somebody like me that likes to paint and customize models and stuff, it's so hard. I want to get one of these and paint it because there's so much detail in it.
I know.
It's like, oh, I need to get a cheap knockoff of them. Or I know they reissued them over the years.
Right,
I need to get like a non-Marx version and paint it or something. In fact, maybe this one isn't even an original. I'm not 100% sure. This might be a later 70s version. But, it says Captain America on the bottom. So, But it's a really nice looking figure. I like the scale mail, especially on it. It's really sharp looking. And I've got the Spider-Man, too, and he's pretty cool. He's in orange. So.
Weird.
Yeah,
weird,
I know.
Color choice.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think it'd at least be blue.
Yeah. Mark's also made several Marvel 10 toys, including Cap on a wind-up tricycle. Kind of like the Santa Claus we got. The little Santa Claus we got. It's like that. Yeah, he would trade it.
Was he supposed to be killed?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a Thor one. There's a Cap one. It's like, he would trade up for a better hog later on, which we'll get to. And, of course, you couldn't be a big character in the 60s if you didn't get an Aurora model kit. And Cap had one. He's shown leaping into a jungle battle scene, and the original box art is by Jack Kirby. The kit's been reissued several times in the decade since, and oddly enough, that's one of those reissue kits I've just never gotten to. Me and Andrew have done like almost all the main monsters.
Right.
And I've got Superman, Batman, Robin, but I've never got any of the Marvel ones.
Well, every year right around, August, September, you all will buy a kit and you'll work on it until October.
Yeah.
Which usually...
Yep, that's our Halloween project, as well as the House of Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in the 70s, the 60s, the big superhero boom kind of came down, kind of crashed and burned in 1968. The Batman series was canceled. There wasn't a whole lot of merchandise in the last few years of the 60s. The 70s, Captain America continued to appear in Avengers and his own title, which was rebranded as Captain America and the Falcon from February 1971 until June 1978. And during the course of the decade, he found out his 1950s replacement was a whacked-out white supremacist and disillusioned with America after a comic version of the Watergate scandal. Cap actually gave up his Captain America identity to briefly become Nomad, the man without a country. He quickly got back his patriotic jammies and shield and returned, of course. By the end of the decade, Cap joined Spidey, the Hulk, and Doctor Strange on CBS TV in a pair of two movie pilots starring Reb Brown, which Cindy loves.
Oh, yeah. Ever so much.
You were so happy that me and Gene Hendricks discussed that on his Legends of the Superhero show and not this show.
Well, it's just one of those things that been super mate instead of super mates. There are some things that my love for you does not cover.
I don't care. I know Reb Brown's not the world's greatest actor, but there's something, and I know they really changed it, but there's something about those movies. It's a nostalgic thing. And I feel like they're better.
I'm pretty sure you just drank the Kool-Aid, dude.
We talked about the Spider-Man pilot with Andy Leyland years ago, when, like early Superman. And, not that many years ago, like a year and a half, 2 years ago. But I think that those Captain America pilots are actually better produced. They're better edited. They just don't seem as sloppy as the Spider-Man ones, you know? There's just something, they're better put together. That's just me.
You're wrong.
Plus, he's got the cool motorcycle. Come on. It's got a hang glider that pops out of it. And there's that Mike Post theme, which I know is going to be playing at some point in this episode when I edit it together. It's awesome. And Danny likes them. So there. Cap began the decade as Marvel's number two draw behind Spider-Man. If you saw two Marvel characters on any product, it was going to be Spidey and Cap.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the decade, he had been replaced because the incredible popularity of the Incredible Hulk TV show, it was now Spidey and Hulk.
Right.
And Cap was the third guy. So he was the bridesmaid and, well, he wasn't even the bridesmaid. He was the flower girl? I don't know what.
Well, matron of honor, bridesmaid, flower girl.
Okay. He went from matron of honor to just bridesmaid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I couldn't remember all that stuff. Sorry.
Well, you know, if you did know it.
Yeah. Well, it's been 20 years since we got married. So, you know.
Yeah. And I had just one person. So, you know.
Right.
And so did you.
Right. The 70s, you can't think of any superhero toy without thinking of Mego.
Oh, of course not.
And, of course, Mego did the world's greatest superhero line of 8-inch figures, and Cap and Spider-Man were the first two Marvel characters that were added to the line after it started with the DC heroes of Superman, Batman, Robin, and Aquaman.
Introducing the world's greatest superheroes, Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo. Superman, the Man of Steel. Aquaman, the famous undersea crime fighter. Tarzan of the Apes. Shazam, now featured on network television. Captain America, fighting injustice the world over. Spider-Man, the weird wall climber. The Super Foes, the archenemies of the superheroes. The Super Gals, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Batgirl, and Catwoman. The Green Arrow, crime fighter from the forest. Iron Man, power personified. The Falcon, that great black superhero. The Green Goblin, Spider-Man's strange enemy. The Lizard, half-man, half-beast. And that fantastic green giant superhero, the Hulk. And for 1976, the Fantastic Four, the Torch, faster than the speed of light. The Thing, Ben Grimm, Man of Granite. Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Girl both have the powers of invisibility. The Fantastic Four, fighting for truth and honor. Conan the Barbarian, with his sword of justice. Thor, using his Viking power against evil.
Mego's Captain America is oddly off-model. His cowl has a permanent shadow, which, strangely enough, Batman does not, even though Batman had more of a perma-shadow than Cap did back then. The head sculpt, a lot of Mego fans talk about this, it's his eyes are slightly off-kilter. They're not quite even with one another.
Right.
He's also got bug eyes because on every other Mego figure, they're just black. They're black dots, but they've got a little white dot inside to show a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
So Cap's got this glazed look because there's like no life in him or something because that little white dot.
I think he looks like the cat after it's been in the catnip.
Yeah. His costume is missing the white half sleeves and red gloves or even red hands. His boots are straight red boots just like Superman's, so they don't have the piratey flounces at the top. He did come with his shield, which is good. The Mego shield is a little odd, though, because it's a black plastic disc with a sticker providing the illustration of the, you know, the striped
stars
circles.
Stars and stripes.
Stars and stripes, yeah. One thing that, and I'm not going to try this with my current one, but that sucker could actually fly like a Frisbee. I know, because I threw mine around a lot when I was a kid.
Let me go try it right now.
No. they made several minor cosmetic changes to the costume during the figure's 9 years in production, mostly around the belt, but which mine's actually missing a belt. I need to get a better suit, but which it was sewn onto the suit. But they never fixed the glaring design mistakes on the figure, which Mego just, for some reason, never did that. They didn't fix Batman and Robin's oven mitts as they moved beyond them and things like that. I don't know why. They did update the figure to the improved Type 2 body along the way, and English Mego distributor Palatoy released a fist-fighting version as well. The Mexican distributor Lil Letty actually gave Cap red oven mitts. So, you know, but they also did some weird stuff. Their Robin's really cool looking because he's got like a green bodysuit under his.
Yeah, we've talked about it several times. You've started to get one and then something they're else pricey. Happened. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pricey, but he almost looks Earth 2-y, you know, which I like. And that's a word now, Earth 2-y. Mego Cap packaging changed with the line over the years from the window boxes to blister pack cards. Cap artwork on most was redrawn from a Jack Kirby pose, but the last cards featured a John Romita Cap vignette on the front of all the Marvel cards, so he was on every card. In 1976, Mego gave Cap his own set of wheels, the Captain America car, which is very cool. This red, white, and blue one-seater featured a lever-activated flip-out shield to bonk the bad guys. Cap got his ride the same year Spidey got the Amazing Spider car, but unfortunately, Cap's only stayed in production for that 1 year, so it's a really, you know, it's a very simple looking car. It's like a, almost looks like a little race car, but it's got the shield, and I'm not going to activate the thing because I'm afraid I'll break the lever on it, but it does work. Yeah. It still works. I just don't mess with it because I don't want to break it. But yeah, it's a nice looking piece, and I always have my Cap like he's jumping out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cool way to display him with it. Well, Mego never gave us a red skull figure for Cap to bonk with that shield. They did give us Cap's fighting partner, the Falcon, in 1974. And Mego gave Falcon a more accurate costume than Cap. He even got very distinctive Falcon-only boots.
Yeah, those are cool.
With the feathers and the points on the going toward the toes, which was, of course, a brand-new mold. They gave him his underarm wings. And so he was more of a deluxe figure, you know, than...
Right.
I mean, they say...
However, his hands.
Yes, his hands. Falcon actually wore white gloves, but they didn't give him white hands or white gloves, you know, unfortunately. So they gave him... His bodysuit includes brown-colored sleeves to match his skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So they made his hands brown, but unfortunately on many versions of the Falcon, including my own, they just reused leftover Planet of the Apes hands. So
yeah.
You have this unfortunate African-American character with simian hands, which is just nowadays you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure there was no malice intended. It was just Mego being cheap.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could
argue
that you could say they're feathers instead of hair. But yeah, it's something that always comes up. But otherwise, the Falcon's a really great looking figure.
Yeah.
He's one of the better Mego figures, and I love him. I think he's awesome looking. When I got him, I always wanted him. I remember seeing a commercial with him in it when I was a kid. One of the few Mego toy commercials I still remember. And I've actually found that one online.
It's the world's greatest superhero collection, featuring Batman and the other half of the dynamic duo, Robin. The Hulk, that green superhero, he's fully poseable. Falcon, the winged black superhero. Shazam and Iron Man. The world's greatest superheroes collection. Each superhero action figure sold separately from Mego.
You know, when I got him in hand, I'm like, wow, he's even cooler than I thought he was.
Yeah.
So he's a really sharp-looking figure. He had a relatively short shelf life, too, even though he was on the card backs till the line ended. He was only offered for a few years, and he was actually transitioned out as they made the move from boxes to the card backs only.
Mm-hmm.
And a carded Falcon has fetched $10,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, so if you find a carded Falcon, buy it.
And don't open it.
And don't open it, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for getting toys out and playing with them, but you can keep that one in the package and go buy you a loose one on eBay or something.
Or a car.
Or a car. Mego included Cap in many of their other lines. They had a bend and flex line, which was a bendy line. He found his boot flaps and missing red gloves on that, but his shield was attached to his left hand, and it, I don't have one, but it looks like it was made out of Play-Doh. It's very crappy looking. But those are cool in kind of a odd way. Some of them are really nice looking, and some of them are just really odd. So he was also included in both of Mego's 3 3/4-inch series. The Comic Action Heroes line featured the characters in a bent-kneed squatting stance, presumably so they could fit better into vehicles, which most of them came packed with.
Right.
The paint apps were limited, but Cap got his gloves and a molded shield. Modern collectors often joke about the rude hand gesture every one of these figures seems to be engaging in. They're bent down, and they've got a fist that if you bend their arm all the way down, is right over their crotch.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I don't have Cap, but I've got many of the other ones.
Oh, yeah, like Superman.
Yeah, and Aquaman,
Shazam,
and Captain Marvel. Yeah, the Green Goblin.
Don't ever display him in a circle.
Yeah. What a bunch of jerks. Some of those same molds were used to produce the later pocket superheroes figures, including Captain America, who was one of the last figures made in the series who now had straight arms and legs. Some of them just have straight legs, but he has straight arms and legs. And much like the early Marx figurine, there's some great detail lost in the oversimplified paint job. Like, I've got basically Cap, he's molded in blue, and he's got silver for his star, which they went real metallic with the paint on these. And then his gloves, his belt, which is weird, and his boots are red. But he's got the marking for his sleeves, and he's got all the markings for his stripes. So you could take this thing and paint him up just absolutely right.
Right, right.
But I ain't going to. So I really like him. He's a nice-looking figure, though. So I haven't had him very long. I think I got him at that Indianapolis toy show.
I think you're right.
Yeah, but he's really sharp-looking. Mego finally got Cap's suit right on the 12.5-inch figure released in 1979, but his head is huge. Despite the white half-sleeves glove cuffs, although they still didn't make his hands red, even though they had a ton of red Spider-Man hands lying around. So, sure, give the Falcon brown Planet of the Apes hands, but don't reuse the Spider-Man hands on Cap anyway. But he's got the flounce boots. The 12-inch Cap has an oversized noggin, and to make matters worse, they put him on the skinnier 12-inch body, not the buff one. Mm. So it makes him look even more bobbleheady. He looks like one of those Jerry Anderson super marionette people from like Captain Scarlet or something. It's unfortunate because other than that, he's a really nice looking figure.
The Incredible Hulk meets Captain America. Each a foot tall with flyaway action pack. Assembly required.
Just took up the flyaway pack and here comes Captain A.
Avalanche!
The job for the Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk with a waist that's clean, lots of muscle and skin that's green. You can make him fly.
Captain America and the Incredible Hulk, both with flyaway action pack, each sold separately by Mego.
Cap was one of the last 8-inch Mego figures that were kept in the line. He hung on all the way through the end with Superman, Batman, Robin, Spider-Man, and the Hulk. And you know, he was one of the figures that I had multiple ones of as a kid. In fact, those were the only 8-inch figures I had as a kid.
Right.
Because by the time I got, I mean, I guess when I first got them, there were still some other ones offered.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were really short packed.
Right.
So those were the ones that were always available. And when they broke, I'd go down to Ben Franklin's and get another one, right? And I had multiple Captain America and Batman, Robin, Superman, all that stuff. The Captain America 8-inch Mego was re-released last year by Diamond Toys and MC Toys. Beside the original figure in a modified repro box, the set comes with a modern Cap head and costume and a Steve Rogers head and army uniform. And you got me that for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really nice set. Oddly enough, it's something to do with the licensing or something. And the price point, they only include one body. the vintage Cap outfits on the body, and then the other sets, the modern Cap and the Steve outfit and head are in the package. So in theory, you can swap them in and out, but I had a bunch of other bodies from Castaway,
right?
Zyka, that make awesome repro Mego bodies that are improved upon the body. So I just, you know, use them. And it looks really sharp. It's a nice update. They still look very Mego-y, but it's like if Mego had stayed in business and
right.
was still, you know, had improved along the way, it's they're really sharp.
I actually saw that set at Disney World.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Yeah, and the Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought I was tempted by Spider-Man, but the prices were a little high because I think you can get it right now on Amazon for about $50 or something like that.
And I think they were $80 at Disney World. Doesn't that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Either $74.99 or $79.99.
But it was cool to see them at Disney World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the wild, so to speak, sort of.
Yeah, in the wild, kind of, yeah. Of course, other people, other companies made Captain America toys in the 70s. Ben Cooper put out another version of their Captain America costume they had released in the 60s. And oddly enough, made a costume for the Red Skull. They also made a cheap rubber mask of this Nazi madman. And I guess maybe one reason they did him is because even without the Marvel context, it's just a scary monster mask.
Right.
You know, which is probably why, and this is really weird, they made a Jiggler figure, a rubber Jiggler of the Red Skull, along with Doctor Strange and the Thing and Spider-Man, but no Cap.
Weird.
And there's even Brian Hyler on his Plaid Stallions site has, you know, shows a box of the counter display box.
Oh, okay. For him.
And my only thinking is that, like, Skull and Thing are monsters,
right,
quote unquote, and Doctor Strange looks Dracula-y enough to, you know, to
right.
fit in with a Halloween
or sorcery or, you know.
Yeah, a Halloween-y type theme. Spider-Man, I guess. But it's really weird that they didn't make a Captain America.
Yeah.
And I remember them advertising those in, like, Heroes World's ad in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they made a Red Skull 8-inch figure because it's like, I think they even called them action figures. Well, the action, if you shake the string, they're on the, you know, they'll move around like rubber. But that's the only action you're getting out of them. But anyway, so weird. Remco and their Rack Toy Arm AHI were second only to Mego when it came to the superhero merchandise they put out in the 70s. And Remco gave Cap a utility belt set that wasn't very authentic. They made tons of utility belts. I mean, one for Batman, obviously. Made one for Spider-Man. Those two characters do have a utility belt. They gave Wonder Woman one, which isn't actually bad. It's got the tiara and stuff like that.
Tiara,
whatever. So, what's the difference? Tiara, tomato, tomato. Zatanna.
Correct, once we're not.
Zatanna, whatever. But the Captain America one's kind of eh. It's, you know, there's no shield or anything with it, which is like, why would you make a Captain America playset and not give him a shield? But
right.
It'll take them decades to get a shield made. AHI made a much more sensible parachuting Captain America figure with a launcher. He didn't have a shield either, but hey, you know, Captain America parachuted a lot, so. And I love these things. When I mean, they made Cap, they made Spidey, they made Superman. They made Superman, which made no sense. They made Batman, but, you know, he's a pretty... I just have a lot of love for those guys. They're a little big in the upper torso department versus their legs, but, you know, they needed that upper body strength to hold on to the strings, I guess. I don't know. Other Rack toys from companies like Laramie had Cap packaging and stickers adorning generic guns, which is just what, you know, Rack toys are. You know, a lot of same molds used over again. Slap it on a new package, slap some new stickers on it, call it a day. One target set comes with plastic duck targets, which is just weird. And the packaging features Cap and the obscure female black character Nightshade colored white. Plus, as Brian Hyler again pointed out on Plaid Stallions, the gun is a Luger.
Oh.
So Captain America is carrying a Luger.
Well, maybe he confiscated it.
He confiscated it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know?
There you go. Hey, my Uncle Leonard did that.
That's right.
For real.
Yeah, but your Uncle Leonard was a badass.
Captain America's not.
Well, but I'm saying
he's a real life badass, yeah. Durham made a Captain America shield shooter based on their Spider-Man web shooter toy. But it didn't really launch a shield. It was kind of like a dart with a picture thing with Cap shield on it, which, you know, again, no shield for kids. They had to do what I did and like the kid in the movie and use a trash can lid, you know. So Hot Wheels, Corgi, and Durham made several Cap diecast cars, which I've got the Hot Wheels one right there. And Hasbro came up with an odd toy that you'll see advertised in comic ads called Ricochet Racers, which launched Spidey and Cap. They were kind of like cars, but they were printed on like they were flying. They were, their bodies were printed on it, and it was like kind of figural and kind of a car.
Weird.
And they shot it out of a rifle.
Okay.
Yeah, really strange. Imperial made a set of Marvel hand puppets that had sculpted vinyl heads, and I still have my Spidey intact, but all I have left of my Captain America is his head. So, and I've always thought he's kind of, it's not a bad sculpt, but he's got a really high nose.
Uh-huh.
He kind of looks a little Dr. Seussian.
I can see that.
He's a Who. Not Doctor Who, he's a Doctor,
like from Whoville.
The Whoville. He's from Whoville. Yeah, he does kind of look like, he's like Mayor Mayhew or whatever his name is from the movie or something. Yeah. So, how that thing survived all these years, I have no idea, but there it is. Well, I think we'll take a break with that, and when we come back, we'll jump into the 80s.
Okay, I'm going to do the promo now.
Really? Finally. Okay, let's do the promo.
What do you mean, let's do the promo? I'm the one who has to do it.
Well, get on with it then.
Okay, here we go. Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, the Mighty Thor, the Captain America.
Wow, being dramatic there, aren't we?
Do you think it's too much? Should I back off?
No, you're fine. You're good.
Okay. You've seen the Earth's mightiest heroes in the Avengers franchise of films. Now you can enjoy the stories that have inspired those films through the magic of comic podcasting.
Magic of podcasting? You sure about that one?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we're awesome. Like, magic. Only without actually seeing any magical things. Just go with it.
Okay. Don't forget to tell them what we're actually doing on the show.
Oh, okay. So join Lily Wilson, the awesomest teenage comics fan in the world, as her father takes her through all the early comics that feature characters from the Avengers franchise of films.
And some that aren't in those films yet, but will be. Because we started with Ant-Man before you had a whole film.
Oh, well, yeah.
And don't forget Spider-Man. He's not exactly an Avenger, but he's there.
Oh, okay. So maybe it should be that feature characters that have been, are currently, or will one day be in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Better. And where should they go not see this magical podcasty goodness?
New episodes can be found... Do I have to do the voice?
Yes, you do.
Okay. New episodes can be found at the Complete Marvel Reading Order website, cmro.travis-starnes.com, and clicking under the Podcasts tab. Or on iTunes by searching Complete Marvel Reading Order, or just search for the name of the show itself.
Dad, don't you think we should actually say the name of our show?
Oh, yeah, Avengers, Inspirations, Podcast, Listen and Stuff.
Yeah, good job, Dad.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to jump headfirst into the 1980s. Quick rundown of where Cap was in the comics. He went through the ringer in the 80s, too, which, of course, they're going to put him through the ringer. He aged and fought the Red Skull to his supposed death before getting better. He was replaced by a nut job named John Walker and briefly became the Captain before coming back once more as Captain America. You might remember this story as Nightfall, because the Batman books ripped it off. Cap's media exposure, they did, was limited to a few guest appearances on Spider-Man's solo cartoon and Spidey and His Amazing Friends. Cap almost made it to Broadway. Oddly enough, a Captain America play was in production with Barney Miller star Hal Linden set to portray an older, retired Cap. Marvel even advertised a contest for the winner to attend the premiere, but like all the movie dreams that kept filling up Stan Lee's soapbox at this time, it fizzled out. So maybe we're glad it fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
He got a merchandising boost.
Like on Batman Beyond when they did the Batman thing and Terry McGinnis is going, I got you tickets for your birthday. And you're like,
The Cowardly Lot thing. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. He got a merchandising boost, Cap did, as the leader of the Marvel superheroes in the Secret Wars comic miniseries and toy campaign, which was started by Mattel. When Mego went belly up, Mattel pitched an action figure series featuring flasher technology, like those Captain Action rings, to DC. DC rejected it in favor of Kenner's Superpowers line, good move, but Mattel took it to Marvel. Editor-in-chief Jim Shooter not only approved it, but also wove an in-continuity comic miniseries around it, creating the first comic crossover event, because the heroes went into this thing in Central Park, disappeared, Marvel Superhero Secret Wars issue 1 came out, showed you where they were at, and while they didn't wait 12 issues to bring them back, the next issue of their comic, well, there was one issue in between where they weren't there, and their supporting cast was like, where are they? And then the next issue, they came back. And some of them were changed, like Spider-Man was in the black suit.
Right.
She-Hulk was with the Fantastic Four, things like that. Mattel took Cap's role as leader very seriously, branding two vehicles in the hero's headquarters in his colors and designs. Spider-Man be damned. So, the biggest thing folks seem to remember about Secret Wars Cap is that he doesn't come with his proper shield, which drove me insane as a kid. Just a generic secret shield like all the heroes. Which the secret shield was, for the heroes, it was round, it was red, which helped, and you would pop it open and stick the flasher thing inside, and the plastic lens that was inside the shield had the lines through it,
mm-hmm.
so when you tilted it, it would, you know, change
Give
the
you
image.
A picture.
And if you didn't get in there just right, it didn't work, so it's kind of annoying, and the villains had a square, silver-looking one to match Dr. Doom more. So, one other thing that most people don't recognize about the Secret Wars Cap, he doesn't have his ears, his human ears. He's got his wings, but his ears aren't sticking out of his mask.
Oh.
Which is weird. Yeah, all the other, you know, Captain America's here, except for, even the movie one does.
Yeah.
You know, well, no, he's got the leather thing over it. But yeah, his ears are usually sticking out traditionally, but it's kind of odd. Cap got a tricked out cycle, not unlike Red Brown's. The futuristic turbo cycle was supposedly for all the heroes, but look at that thing. I mean, it's red, white, and blue.
Uh-huh.
It's got a shield on the sidecar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Captain America's vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but Wolverine and Iron Man are riding bitch. I mean, there ain't no two ways about it. They ain't driving that thing. You know?
Christopher.
Well, it's true. Ow. You knew it had to happen.
Secret Wars. What's Dr. Doom's mission? Secret Shield? Ah, zap Captain America with my Doom Roller.
Dr. Doom, Doom Roller, Turbo Cycle, and Captain America each sold separately. Batteries not included.
Let's roll. Doom Roller? That first wheel can't stop the Turbo Cycle. Change course, Doom Roller. Now, Turbo Cycle, you're doomed.
Doom Roller and Turbo Cycle vehicles from the Marvel Superhero Secret Wars collection, each sold separately. Action figures also sold separately. New from Mattel.
There was a Turbo Copter that also had the exact same paint scheme. Oddly enough, it looks very military, very real world. And the only reason that is because Frugal Mattel reused a mold from a military line they had in the
70s. Oh, yeah.
Yep, so they also rebranded both of these vehicles for Dr. Doom, so there's a bad guy version. And you would get the impression from this toy line, if you didn't know the comics, that Dr. Doom was Captain America's archenemy. And the Red Skull wasn't his archenemy, and the Fantastic Four wasn't Dr. Doom's archenemy.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of interesting. They made a very strange kind of sort of headquarters for the superheroes. In the second series, they put out the Tower of Doom in series 1. They made a villain headquarters first, which is really strange. But the odd Freedom Fighter headquarters was also cast in Cap's colors. It was basically just a giant landing platform and two gun turrets. But the landing platform was Captain America's shield. So, yeah, again, that's like the other heroes are like, you know. So.
They're playing in Cap's world.
Exactly, exactly. And speaking of Cap's world, the Falcon surprisingly made it into this line, while Marvel big guns like the Hulk and Thor got completely benched. Never made it into the line. And just like Mego, the Falcon is one of the nicer figures in the line, even though I never got one and always wanted one. So that's on my to-buy list one of these days, is get a Falcon. Even more surprising, Cap's enemy Baron Zemo made it into the second series. Not the Red Skull, but Baron Zemo. Now, Baron Zemo was pretty big in the comics at the time, but still, there were some very strange choices in the Secret Wars line, which we've covered
right
in our previous toy episodes. But other toys of the 80s, Remco was still at it and added Cap to their smaller Powerized Heroes line, which was a little brother to the larger, more popular Energized Superheroes, where Cap wasn't invited. These figures were unarticulated thanks to Mego having the master action figure license, but they ran on battery power or, you know, crank up power or something. The figures looked cool, but his shield just spun around. That was it. You just, like, cranked it and it spun. And he came with a patch, which somehow I still have, and yet another laser rifle, even though he couldn't lift his arm to shoot anybody.
Yeah.
Very strange. An odd action figure series appeared in between Mego's demise and Secret Wars' release. Processed Plastics released a line of activated Marvel superheroes figurines, and Heroes World advertised them as action figures because I ordered a set of them. In reality, they were another line of army men, kind of like the Marx figures, with scissor-like activators that allowed them to move. So you had the base of the figure, and it had little notches in it, and you'd pop this activator thing in, and you could basically move it back and forth, and your character would kind of shimmy, you know? So you could knock each other over and things. They had holes in their hands, so they could...
Sounds like Rock'em Sock'em Bots.
A little bit. They could slide down lines. They made Cap, Falcon, and Red Skull in that line. So that was cool when I was a kid that I actually had figures of the Falcon and the Red Skull. So that was really cool. Ideal returned to Captain America one more time. They had revived their concept of the Evel Knievel toy line with Team America in 1980. Marvel published a comic based on the line after introducing the team in Captain America number 269. Cap joined the toy lineup complete with his own motorcycle and hard plastic figure. This item is apparently really hard to come by. You can't even find much on the internet about it. And the only reason I really ever knew it existed is it was listed on, I think it was a comic that came with a packed in with a Team America figure. The Team America figures were, they were kind of like, they weren't bendies like Evel Knievel. They were, at first they were hard plastic figures on motorcycles, and then they were action figures on motorcycles and things. But the Captain America figure is apparently a hard plastic one. I have seen pictures of it, but it's just, you don't see it very often. The idea of Cap on a motorcycle was actually a notion that went back to comic covers of the 40s, but the TV movies definitely clinched it, and toy makers couldn't resist. Like Buddy L, they made several Marvel vehicles in the late 70s through the mid 80s, some branded as Secret Wars, and including a Captain America cycle that comes with a little rubbery Captain America figure made right onto it, and I love this thing.
I know, it is so cute.
I've got a Spider-Man. The Spider-Man one I've had since I was a little kid, and I actually got the Spider-Man vehicle set when I saw Spider-Man and the Green Goblin at Hills. So, at their, you know, the mall appearance, even though it wasn't the mall. But, yeah, it's really cool. And he's about the same scale as the Secret Wars, so you could just imagine that the Secret Wars Cap decided to get on a real motorcycle instead of that turbo cycle thing, because it looks more like a real-world
mm-hmm.
motorcycle. It looks a lot like Robin's motorcycle
of the
70s and 80s. Ben Cooper was still churning out Cap costumes, but kids could wear their flag colors all year long with a Captain America underoos set.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that. I had the shirt. I've still got it. The kids have both worn it. It's beat to hell.
Oh, yeah.
But it survived.
It's in Danny's closet right now.
Yeah, and my mom and I actually took that, the mask from the Ben Cooper set, and made a shield out of poster board, and I went as Captain America one year for Halloween. You know, put it over top of a long sleeve sweatshirt or some, or t-shirt or something and did it that way.
You were so cute.
Yeah. Now, Cap had appeared as one of many characters on a 1976 Marvel Superheroes lunchbox by Aladdin. But in 1980, Aladdin gave him a much bigger spotlight. He shares a lunchbox with Spider-Man and the Hulk, but Cap gets the whole back panel to himself. The scene shows a Jim Steranko Captain America battling a horde of Kirby-drawn Hydra-like agents, an artwork that was lifted directly from the Silver Age comics. The bottom side panel has a John Buscema Cap flinging his shield, and the top panel shows a John Romita Cap hanging out with his two co-stars. So this is like got like all the great Marvel artists, really, of the Silver and Bronze Age represented on it. And I love that thing. That's just a sharp-looking lunchbox, and I keep it out on the Captain America side.
So there. Right. And we've got it displayed in our kitchen.
That's right, along with Super Friends, Superman the movie, and Superpowers. So.
And Strawberry Shortcake.
And Strawberry Shortcake, yeah.
The president closed his statement with this odd message. To Captain America, wherever he is, we're all back in the fight.
Liberty and justice, every free man's point of view. Gotta keep it going now. The old red, white, and blue. Sound the bells of freedom that all the people sing. Send a message loud and clear. Peace and freedom ring.
Jumping into the 90s, the 90s should have been a big decade for Cap. He had a major motion picture in development to debut in Cap's 50th anniversary year of 1991. The film eventually came out straight to home video in 1994. It gets a lot right, its heart's in the right place, but the cheapness of the affair really shows through. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
The Matt Salinger, he's the son of J.D. Salinger. He plays Cap, for real. But, it's like another TV movie. That's what it feels like. It feels like a half decent Captain America TV movie.
Gotcha.
Strangely, they made the Red Skull Italian. I don't know why. And the Cap costume infamously has rubber ears instead of Salinger's human ears poking through the mask. And nobody really knows why. They said that it just didn't look right, or it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, the rubber ears don't look right either because they crease and stuff when he's moving around, and people's ears don't do that. But anyway, Cap's comic world was turned upside down when his series, along with several other big names, were sent off to Image Comics to produce. Rob Liefeld was behind this infamous roided up version of Cap until Marvel came back to their senses and reinstalled fan favorite writer Mark Waid, and it came back to Marvel proper. Cap almost had an animated series to call his own in the 90s as well. The same studio behind the 90s Spider-Man and X-Men shows had Cap in development for Fox, and Wizard even showed images from the series, but the World War II setting made the network squeamish and they pulled the plug. They just couldn't figure out how to do the movie did with Hydra and all that.
Right.
Cap made a few guest appearances on the Spidey and X-Men tunes, as well as being a part-timer on the really bad Avengers tune that ended the decade, but still no Captain America cartoon. Toy biz came along in the 90s. The fledgling toy company, hot off their popular, if rather lackluster, Batman movie toy line, got the Marvel license in 1990 as well. They quickly lost their DC license to Kenner again, so you didn't get the return to Migos heyday of them coexisting together for very long. But their Marvel offering shaped up much nicer. In the first series of Marvel superheroes, Cap is featured. He's a bit knock-kneed. This is him here. He's a bit knock-kneed, but, you know, he's got the sculpted scale mail, and he's got a very accurate costume, and his shield's pretty nice. He had a launcher thing for his shield, but you could also put it on his arm, so I thought he was a pretty good-looking figure.
Yeah, but his thing that comes over his nose doesn't come, it comes down too far.
Yeah, I can see that.
That bothers me.
Yeah, it looks a little, yeah, it's a little, comes down a little far, yeah, that's true, but... I thought it was, you know, after what they did with the DC line, especially when they quit using the superpowers molds, this is a whole lot better than their, you know, self-abusing Lex Luthor figure that came out the year before. The figure mold was reused to make the U.S. agent, the later identity of replacement Cap John Walker, who took Steve's discarded The Captain outfit and made it his own. That's not confusing at all. You can still see Cap's scales and raised chest star under the black, red, and white paint of that figure. So, it's like, toy companies never fail to reuse molds. Toy Biz made thousands of Marvel figures in various sizes through the 90s and early 2000s, and there are way too many to mention here. We'll hit a few hot spots, though. This one here is a very roided-up Cap from the Spider-Man animated line, as they were toward the end of that series when they were going off the rails and really not following the animation models. He looks very angry. He's looks like, you know, I'm sure his, you know, he's, as other things have grown, some other things have shrunk, it looks like. And he's got a super tiny shield that's kind of looks like red browns, because it's semi-translucent, because it sparked inside.
Yes.
It had a sparking mechanism, which was just kind of weird, and you just heard him fall over, because he's top-heavy. That same series gave us a Red Skull figure that's not bad. I think the first Red Skull action figure. His head's a little tiny, but he's actually in kind of a Gestapo-looking outfit, minus the Nazi symbols, of course. He's got a skull on his armband instead of a swastika, which you can't blame him for that. Toy Biz gave us at least two Falcons, a pretty nice classic version based on the body of a Spider-Man Daredevil figure, again, reusing molds, and then a very strange version based on that late 90s Avengers cartoon in 97. Like the Falcon, Toy Biz cobbled together some parts and gave us our first Bucky figure in 1999, and I don't have one, but the pictures I saw online, his head is from the 90s animated Peter Parker.
Well.
Yeah. Cap, the Red Skull, and the Falcon were part of the famous cover series of 9-inch figures meant to harken back to Mego. They featured cloth costumes, but unfortunately, many of the early ones, like Cap, feature tiny screaming pinheads
and huge
hands. Vintage toy fans bought them then, but most lament the look now. Falcon is somewhat better, and the Red Skull is actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
Toward the end, they made the heads actually fit the bodies, and they
as far as being in scale.
Yeah, they toned down the hands. He's in like a green jumper with a red armband with nothing on it. But he's a pretty nice looking figure overall. But yeah, the Cap. I had the Cap. I think I gave it to Andrew. I don't know what he did with it. He's probably thrown it in a closet somewhere, because even, you know, he was probably like, oh, yeah, thanks, Dad. You know, that was when he was little. I gave it to him.
Yeah.
Marvel bought Toy Biz during the decade, but through a series of events, which I'm not going to go into, after Marvel went bankrupt, they owned Marvel. So it was the tail wagged the dog and the, you know, vice versa. Other companies managed to put out some Marvel collectibles during this decade. Applause gave us some small PVC figures and also some nice large ones. Their 11-inch Cap, which I've got right here, he was only articulated at the shoulders, but featured a great sculpt of Cap with a removable shield. He's pretty nice looking, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like him. I like him quite a bit. I kind of wish he wasn't quite looking off to the side as much, because you got to kind of, because his shield's like on one. He's looking away from the hand that you can put his shield on. So it would be better if he was looking, if it was like this.
Right.
Because then you could pose him with his shield in the direction that he's looking, which would make more sense.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish, if they were going to turn his head and make it to work, because you can't turn it, I wish they'd done that. But I think he's pretty sharp looking. His shield's not going to stay. Bam! His shield just fell off. You heard that. Okay, jumping into the 2000s, which we'll run through the more modern times pretty quick. Cap seemed somewhat directionless in the late 90s and early 2000s after Wade left the title. Marvel didn't seem to know what to do with him post 9/11, but then Ed Brubaker came on board in 2005 and rebooted the series in a grand fashion, creating storylines that are still propelling the comics and the movies today. He dared to bring back Bucky, and it worked. The revived Bucky, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier, even took Cap's place when Steve Rogers was apparently murdered after the events of Civil War, which I hope to God doesn't happen in the movie. Over in the new Ultimate Universe, the Avengers were known as the Ultimates, and Cap was there, although he wasn't quite the morally upright Steve Rogers we know and love. The Ultimates got the animated movie treatment and two Ultimate Avengers directed DVD films. Cap, of course, was one of the main players. Marvel Studios proper formed mid-decade, and by 2008, Iron Man launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Cap is sort of kind of seen in the ice in the deleted scene from The Incredible Hulk. Have you ever seen that scene?
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's the Edward Norton Hulk movie. I don't think that's on the DVD we got. I think you could only get it on like the Deluxe or like when the Blu-ray first came out. Right. But I watched it this morning, and I'd seen it a while back, but basically Edward Norton goes up into the Arctic to kill himself, to kill Banner, you know, kill himself. And as he tries to shoot himself, he turns into the Hulk. And then the Hulk crushes the gun, and he, like, I guess he slams this big ice cliff, and it all just starts shattering, and all this ice is going everywhere. And as this wave of, you know, tremors is, like, pushing the ice up, if you look over in the left-hand corner of the screen, you can see a figure in one of the pieces of ice that comes up.
Oh.
Which, of course, doesn't work with the movie because Cap was inside the flying wing thing.
Right,
so
right.
It can't really work in the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. But anyway, back to toys. Toy Biz continued to churn out Marvel figures, but settled on a format that was popular with both kids and adults. Spinning out of a series of Spider-Man classics, Marvel Legends debuted in 2002. These 6-inch figures, like Cap here, were super articulated, and later series actually came with a build-a-figure piece, so you could build usually a larger figure if you collected the whole line. The line was very influential and was aped by many other companies, including Mattel, for their DC offerings. Like I said, Cap made it into the first series, and he's a nice-looking figure, although by today's standards, he looks a little puppety. He's a little... The articulation is real obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas nowadays, they hide it a lot better in the 15 years.
His chest pivot joint is just awful.
Yeah. He's got a really super tiny abdomen. To accommodate the fact, and he doesn't really even move that well. They do like the ab crunch thing now, more that actually bends in the middle, but I still think he's pretty nice looking. The Red Skull got a Marvel Legends figure the next year, and he's actually in even a more straight Gestapo looking outfit. He's got a little cap, not Captain America, but a hat, and a pistol, and he was actually made using the Daredevil movie body. So there's some Ben Affleck underneath this, believe it or not. Weird. He was a chase figure because apparently some stores like Walmart didn't really want to be promoting a Nazi villain. So
yeah.
So he was hard to come by. I lucked into finding him. And I don't know. At one time he went for a lot of money. I don't know if he does now, but I don't care about that. But he did. So they made a armored Red Skull figure later on from the Mark Waid series. Falcon and Baron Zemo got the Marvel Legends treatment in this decade as well. And the line produced several versions of Cap, including figures based on the Ultimate version. They gave us our first Steve Rogers figure, or head anyway, in 2006 because they made a maskless Cap figure, which unfortunately I don't have, but he looked pretty nice. Oddly enough, in 2006, Hasbro got the Marvel license, which everybody was scratching their head saying, wait a minute, you've got your own toy company, but apparently I can make more money by licensing it out than producing their own.
Hmm.
And at some point, of course, Marvel, not too long after this, by the beginning of this decade, they were owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I don't really begin to understand all that, who owned what and this and that. And, you know, the company that Toy Biz became Marvel, and it's all, I don't understand that stuff. And we don't need to get into it. But the Hasbro version gave us a Marvel Legends. They continue Marvel Legends. They gave us a Bucky figure. And they released a series not too long after they got the license of 9-inch figures. They reused parts from a 9-inch series that they did for the DC characters in the 90s.
See, that looks like that goes with that Red Skull figure over there.
Right. Now, this Red Skull figure is a famous covers by Toy Biz.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Marvel, I think they were called Marvel Origins figures by Hasbro. But they do look like they go together pretty well. And this uses, like I said, the body parts from the 9-inch series, you know, that Hasbro did, that were really nice looking. They were far superior to the majority of the famous covers that Toy Biz did. But the Captain America is real nice, and really strangely, I brought this up the other day, who does that look like?
Chris Evans.
Yes, this figure was released in 2006, but the face on this Captain America looks a whole lot like Chris Evans. It is really strange. I mean, his nose, the shape of his jaw, it could pass for a Chris Evans head sculpt today.
Right.
It's kind of odd. It's kind of like that Superman...
Very prophetic.
That Superman Kellogg's ad we've got on the wall that Superman looks like Christopher Reeve in 1944.
Right.
Or whatever. Really weird. So... Hasbro continued to crank out cap-related figures as we drew closer to Marvel saturation with the oncoming films. They also had semi-competition with Marvel Select, but just in comic shops. They're 7-inch scaled figures made by Diamond. There's, of course, the big comic book distributor. They also show up in Disney stores. And once, you know, Disney bought Marvel. And there's been several cap figures there. Jumping into this decade, in the 2010s, Steve eventually got better and returned. Before he took the mantle back from Bucky, he was kind of a Nick Fury type for a while. Then he gave up the role again when his super soldier serum went south and he started aging, so the Falcon took over. Honestly, the only Cap partner who hasn't been Cap yet is Peggy Carter. which, you know, hey, why not? The big news, of course, was in 2011, Cap finally made it to the big screen in our personal favorite Marvel film,
woohoo!
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yes, yes.
We have waxed Chris Evans' motorcycle over and over on this show.
I'd like to wax on my own.
Cindy!
Ow!
I'm going to smack you for that. Good Lord, woman.
Sorry.
Jeez. Damn.
You might cut that out, huh?
I might. But... needless to say, we love Chris Evans as Captain America. And we're
Chris
just gonna,
Evans is awesome.
We're just going to leave it at that. Of course, Cap appeared in Avengers, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Avengers Age of Ultron, as well as a brief cameo in Thor the Dark World, which is hilarious. The Avengers got two animated series in the decade, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes and Avengers Assemble, and Cap was, of course, front and center in both of them. Hasbro continued to churn out toy lines based on both the comics and the animated series and movies. And so when the first Avenger came around, Cap got his first toy line all to himself, believe it or not. I mean, Iron Man had one in the 90s because of his cartoon, where Spider-Man had multiple ones. Mm-hmm. The Hulk had multiple ones because of cartoons and movies. But Captain America had not had one before that. They made about every conceivable variation of Cap from the movies and the comics you could think of, mostly in the 3 3/4-inch scale, which they had kind of moved toward. But they snuck in some 6-inch figures, too. Because Marvel Legends was kind of on hiatus at the time, they're back now. But one of my personal favorites that Andrew had, and he had a ton of them, and he played with them, was a parachuting Cap figure.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, we played with that thing over and over and over again. I mean, he was like the old G.I. Joe parachute figures. And
do
also,
we still have him?
Yeah, he's still in there somewhere in his stuff.
His room's kind of scary.
Yeah, he's got his figures, some of his figures set up, but a lot of them he's just got stored. And of course, he doesn't play with them anymore, but it reminded me of the old AHI, you know, yeah, parachute figures and the G.I. Joe 3 3/4 parachutes I had. Hasbro finally gave us kid-sized Cap shields at retail.
Captain America! It's time to become the hero that you are with the Captain America Disc Launching Shield. It defends when the going gets tough and fires flying discs when it's time to fight back. For the hero in everyone. It's the Captain America Disc Launching Shield.
Harness and targets not available. Batteries not included. Each sold separately.
Now kids can stop hitting each other with metal trash can lids. They also make some nice masks, too. They're easily found at Walmart and Target, and it does my heart good to see a kid running around with a Captain America shield.
Yes.
And I just want to, I would love to go back in time and hand my kid self a authentic Captain America shield and a nice looking costume.
But now you have a Captain America shield and it's on our living room wall.
Yes, because Ruby's that makes Halloween costumes made a, it's like a tin right. Captain America shield. It's made of metal though. And I have displayed it on our living room wall since I got it.
Yes.
And I had actually got it down and used it in Nerf fights, although I wouldn't recommend that because there were a couple tiny little dings in it afterwards. You can't really tell, but
yeah.
It was funny though when Andrew had, he had one of those Nerf Gatling guns and he was just shooting the crap at everybody.
Oh yeah.
So I went and grabbed my shield off the wall and he come around the corner and I had that thing and I just come at him. They were bouncing off of it. It was awesome. I could just hear dun, 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 dun in my head, you know. It's just like, he's lucky I didn't throw it at him. Get lost in my mania, you know. Now on the high end of things, you've got Hot Toys, the Hong Kong-based manufacturer. They make high-end 12-inch figures from all sorts of movies and properties, and they got the Marvel license right as the Cinematic Universe began. Their Marvel line has become a cottage industry unto itself, especially with Iron Man, because they can make every conceivable suit, especially all the ones from Iron Man 3.
Right.
But Cap has gotten a lot of love with the company making every variant of his suit from the movies. They also made figures of the Winter Soldier, Falcon, and Red Skull, and probably a few I forgot about. I have the first Avenger Captain America.
Yes, you do, because I'm awesome.
Yes, you're awesome. I love him. The only complaint I have is that I was going to dust him one day, and the paint came off of his shield.
Oh.
And I tried to contact Hot Toys about it, and they apparently don't stand behind their products.
Nope.
Because they basically said, "Where'd you get this contact information?"
Yeah.
And never wrote me back again. So I have a flaked shield. There's a company online that makes metal ones that are apparently don't flake. I'm going to get a replacement one. I just haven't got around to it yet. But they are lovely. They're fantastic. They are pieces of art. But beware, even if you're not rough with them, parts of them can go bad on you.
And this was using a feather duster.
This was using a Swiffer.
Yeah.
I used a Swiffer duster. And just lightly went across the top of it and pieces of the paint came off with it. And I nearly was in tears.
Yes. Well, I heard you scream outside.
Bringing things back full circle, Round 2 released a new Captain America outfit for a reissue of Captain Action a few years back. And he came with both his round shield and his triangular shield and a Steve Rogers head. And other little parts. Steve Rogers mask, I'm sorry. So it's a pretty nice looking outfit. Like we said, kids today get authentic looking Captain America costumes. They're a far cry from the Ben Cooper. I love those as a kid, but some of them nowadays are just like dead on. And
yeah.
I'm like extremely jealous. at this point, it's almost impossible to catalog every Cap item out there. He's ubiquitous. You can't throw a rock or a shield in a Walmart or a Target without hitting something with some Cap iconography on it. He's everywhere. You see people with t-shirts. I love it.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
And the guy at Universal. How awesome.
Yeah, the guy at Universal. I mean, yeah, we went on and on about that last episode, but yeah, it was awesome. So that was a brief rundown through the history of Captain America toys. I know toward the end we kind of glossed over, but there's so much out there. There's just way to talk about it all. And you can just go out to any store that sells toys right now, and I guarantee you there'll be something Captain America there. So I want to give a shout out to our pal Brian Heiler over at PlaidStallions.com. I picked through his site to rejigger my brain, as well as MarvelToys.net and MarvelLegends.net. Those are great sites to check out all the offerings from those lines. And as far as books, I want to recommend Captain Action, the original superhero action figure by Michael Urie. There's a softcover and a hardcover version, both awesome, published by Two Morrows. Mego 8-Inch Superheroes, World's Greatest Toys by Benjamin Holcomb, which it's a beautiful book that gives you a rundown of every 8-Inch Mego superhero figure. And Rack Toys, Cheap Craze Playthings, which we plugged here before, by our pal Brian Heiler, which of course covers all those wonderfully wacky Rack Toys of the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
All great books. So I think that'll do it. Go see Captain America Civil War. And, you know, we'll probably have a few comments. I don't know if there's going to be a
roundtable
about that or not, given the way things went with Batman v Superman. I don't know if
we want to try that again.
We want to try that again. It might depend on what we all think of it, and because we try to keep things positive. And I don't, even if things go bad in this movie, mm-hmm. even if this is the Empire Strikes Back of Marvel movies, I trust those guys to fix it.
Right.
To tell a compelling story as they get us back to where we want to be. So I'm not as worried. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little apprehensive about what will happen to Cap because of what happened in the comics.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not worried. I trust these people, like right. I've said before. And I'm really psyched for it. And psyched for Doctor Strange, too, which the trailer dropped this week. So you got anything else?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Supermates is a Franklin and Franken production in association with Bugaloo Enterprises Worldwide and is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. The characters and properties mentioned in this show are copyright their respective holders. Likewise, all audio clips are copyright their holders and no infringement is implied. So please don't sue my mommy and daddy. Emails can be sent to supermatespodcast@gmail.com.
Comments can be left at supermatescomic.blogspot.com or by visiting fireandwaterpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook by searching for Supermates and FW Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter by using the hashtag FW Podcast.
Please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Supermates, the husband and wife geek cast.
I'm a great fan of your films.